Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production, now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. My goal is to help you develop a holistic lifestyle based on our four cornerstone philosophy: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. This holistic approach will help you feel good, which I define as being connected to your most authentic, highest self. And this is the place from which your energy, confidence, creativity, true power, and true beauty will start to explode. Every week, we provide you with interviews from top experts in their field or a solo cast from yours truly to support you in living your most beautiful, healthy, and joyful life. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of Saluna, New York Times bestselling author, and holistic wellness, nutrition, and meditation teacher. Let's get started. Hi, beauties, and welcome back to our Thursday Q&A podcast, where our topic today is four ways to enhance the quality of your life. And we are going to be talking about the four cornerstones: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. I wholeheartedly believe that when we honor our whole selves, we get the best results, period. We feel the best, we look the best, we have our most, our highest energy, our best ideas. We just feel centered. We have a better outlook on life. We have more peace, more joy, more fulfillment. So it is very important that we nourish ourselves on all levels. We are physical beings, mental, emotional, spiritual beings. And so we really want to nurture and honor all parts. And that is why the four cornerstones are designed that the way they are. They are designed to really, again, nourish on all levels, because that is where everything starts to integrate and support each other. All the cornerstones support each other synergistically and holistically. And it really does, it takes all parts. If we just focus on the food part, which I think is common for a lot of people when they're getting into wellness, at a certain point, you realize that you still have the bloat, or you still can't lose the weight, or you're still running into a lot of different blocks, or you can't sleep at night, you're not peaceful, whatever it is. And so, you know, we get to the point where we're seeking more. And then we can start to focus more, let's say, on emotional well-being, spiritual growth. We're handling our stress better. We feel more centered. We understand how to process feelings. We're meditating more. And then suddenly we have more clarity. Suddenly we are automatically being more in tune with our body, making better decisions. We don't have the same food cravings. We're sleeping better at night. Our hormones are balancing. So wow, all of a sudden we are managing our weight better by expanding our focus out of the food cornerstone alone. So they really do work together. And this is something that I'm so passionate about sharing with you about now, because I know this can support you incredibly to an incredible level in your life. I want to give you a reminder to please leave us a review on iTunes, which is a great way to keep supporting the show and keeping the show going. So I thank you so much in advance for doing that. If you screenshot your review and email it to us at reviews@mysaluna.com, we will automatically email you our 7 self-love affirmation, our mini course, which is a really great way to start reprogramming any negative beliefs today. And please be sure to subscribe to our show, and that way you don't miss out on any of these Q&A podcasts where, you know, my intention is that this information really does help you in your life, because I think a lot of us are wondering the same things and have the same questions, or our interview podcasts on Mondays. I also want to remind you that my new book, You Are More Than You Think You Are, Practical Enlightenment for Everyday Life, is pre-selling now. So you can get your copy on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. And if you head to mysaluna.com, you can upload your receipt and you can get all these amazing pre-sale bonuses, including access to reading the first few chapters today, our Beyond Fear course with videos and practices, and invitation to our live looped event, which will have meditation and time for Q&A and sharing. It's going to be very special. So check that out today. I cannot wait to share the new book with you. You Are More Than You Think You Are. It is definitely my best book. It is the one that I feel truly in my heart the most passionate about. The teachings, the techniques, the practicality of it, I know will support you in your life in some or hopefully many ways. I cover confidence, vitality, abundance, just creating your best life. And it's really what's worked for me across all parts of my life. This is my full playbook. So I cannot wait for you to get it, hopefully today. All right, my loves, all that being said, let's get right into our show today. The first question comes from Lucy, who lives in Iowa. So sending you lots of love out there, my love, to a state I have never been, but I hear is quite beautiful. She writes, "Hi, Kimberly. I really appreciate your take on the four cornerstones and would love to reboot the food part as I've kind of steered away from really focusing on this area. Do you have one or two best practices you can share that keep your eating habits in check?" So Lucy, I love this question, and I feel that all of us sort of have one or two primary cornerstones, and sometimes we neglect another one, or sometimes, you know, it's good to just keep checking in and keep seeing where we need to refocus and where we need to put more energy. So working in this holistic way does require a consistent checking back in to ourselves, to our intuition, to, again, where we need to reset and reboot. And I do love your question because you've taken that time to really introspect and to feel with your intuition where you are needing that extra energy. And it is the food cornerstone. And I was actually feeling that a few weeks ago myself, where I was just focusing on a lot of other things. And I was, you know, just needing to nourish myself more with food. I was needing to really focus on it a bit more. And this also takes into consideration seasonality. So when you're asking about practices for right now, one of my practices that is really working for me, and it's also in accordance with the season, is to make nourishing bowls for myself. So what that requires is thinking ahead for some of the ingredients that take a little bit longer to cook. So for instance, I make sprouted brown rice or quinoa. Those are my two main bases in bulk. So I have enough for 2 days or so. And then I can just reheat it when I make bowls. So I like bowls because it's very, very simple, but you can make a few things. You can cook a few things in a few minutes and put it together, and you can choose each ingredient to be really nourishing for you that day. So as you open your fridge and you look at your veggies, you may think, oh, I need some grounding right now. I would like to cook up some carrots, or I'm going to bake some beets, or, you know, this broccoli is really calling to me right now. And you can choose those ingredients. So my bowls right now, I'm thinking about the one I had yesterday. It had some quinoa, and then I quick sauteed some kale. And then I added in some beans. I've been really into pinto beans lately. And then a bunch of sprouts. And the beans were pre-cooked, and I, you know, they came from a carton, and I just quick cooked them. So my bowl took me like 7 minutes to make. It was felt incredibly nourishing for me. I said my prayer of gratitude before. I took my two digestive enzymes, my Soluna enzymes before, and I was nourishing, and it was easy. And so it didn't feel like a burden, like it was taking me off, you know, away from my kids or work right now, which is very full on with the book coming on top of all my normal responsibilities and creations. So I do recommend, Lucy, thinking about adding bowls, which are warm, mostly cooked besides the sprouts or the salad. So they will digest really well in this season. So the second thing that I recommend right now is smoothies. So even though it's getting cold, if you've gotten away from smoothies, I still think that they are vital all year round. The difference is I do not drink them incredibly cold. I drink the Glowing Green smoothie closer to room temperature. I make the Power Protein smoothie for me every day because I am so busy in the afternoon. It gives me that burst of extra energy. I include chia seeds. Right now, I'm including spirulina every day. And the protein powder that I like right now is the Vega protein powder, which is wonderful. It's a base of pumpkin seeds and sunflower seeds and pea protein. So I do have that every day, and that gives me easily digestible energy. So for me, it's the bowls, easy, simple dishes put together that you can mix and match. And the smoothie still is a staple, Lucy. So I highly recommend, you know, looking into those, or if that inspires you to think of some recipes or some other practices that work for you, wonderful. But thank you for bringing up the food cornerstone first, because it is important that we stay on top of that one, because the energy that we are ingesting as food does really affect our energy overall, including our ability to sit more and more effectively in meditation. So thank you, my sister, my love. And let's go to our second question, who comes from Rachel, which comes from Rachel in Louisiana. Hello, Rachel. Down south, sending you a warm hug. She writes, no matter what I do, I'm always insecure about my body. How can I shift the way I view myself so I don't slide backwards every time I make some progress? I love this question, and I think that we've all been there. Of course, we've all felt different insecurities about our body and, you know, the shape of it, the way that it looks compared to the way we might want it to look. And it's all of this, you know, reflecting back, looking in the mirror, looking at the image of our body that, or the images of other people on social media. I think that really fuels this fire and fuels this insecurity. So one thing that I would like you to consider shifting towards, Rachel, is instead of just focusing on the form and the imagery of your body, to instead focus on the aliveness and the energy inside your body. So a practice that really helped me was walking. And I talk about walking a lot because my daily walks are my sanctuary for many different reasons. Besides my meditations, it's my only time of quiet alone space. Otherwise, I'm on podcasts, I'm on Zoom calls, I'm with my kids, or I'm writing articles, or I'm, you know, just not in this focused space of self-connection. So I love to walk and I love to be in nature. And I feel so much gratitude as I walk around. I do live in a very rural, pretty rural place. So I walk on this dirt road and I look up at the trees and the rocks and the birds and I breathe. And sometimes I listen to mantras and sometimes I walk in silence. But I'd share this with you, Rachel, because it is in these walks where I feel my vitality and I feel grateful for my body carrying me through nature. I feel a greater sense of oneness with the world around me. I'm not looking in mirrors. I'm not, again, on social media. I'm not just focused on form. I'm feeling the energy of my body. And what that's done over time is it's given me more gratitude and more appreciation for my feet and for my legs, and for my lungs, and for my ability to carry through into these experiences of beingness. And so I would encourage you, Rachel, to move your body, whether it's getting on your yoga mat or getting on a bike or going on walks, and really just start tuning in to appreciation for your body, your temple, carrying you through these day-to-day life experiences, the ability to pick up and brush your teeth, the ability to drive your car, the ability to play with your kids or to be outside, and to get out of this very limited focus on the shape of your body. And what this will do is this will start to open up this, you know, love, gratitude, appreciation, energy. This will start to shift your obsession and your focus, which actually adds to stress hormones. It adds to constriction, impaired digestion, and quite frankly, holding on of excess weight. When we are in the state of flow, things will flow more, including the ability for food to flow through your body, to digest and assimilate more easily, and for weight to flow off your body. This is why, along with this cornerstone, I do recommend meditation more. I do recommend checking out our Practical Enlightenment meditations and also just sitting as a continual, consistent practice, morning and evenings for you. And so that will give you more connection with the true self inside of you, which will allow you to love yourself and to accept yourself more fully, including your body. So check out those practices, my love. And really, your body is, you know, 99.999% this energy. And unfortunately, we focus on this outer shell. We focus on the form. And then we beat ourselves up and then we over-identify with the form. The form is something that we do as humans here in the, you know, visible physical world. We do want to manage. We do want to, you know, look the way that we want to look as well. But I promise you that connecting to that energy inside of you, that outer form will start to align much more easily when we work from the inside out. And then our intuition, and then our strength, our resilience, our dynamic will start to shape your outer form in the ways that you would like without the obsession and the beating yourself up. So try these, my love, and I promise you it will make a difference in your life and in your body, in your physical body. So thank you so much, my love. I appreciate you. I appreciate you being part of our beautiful community, and I send you so much love. All right, my loves, let us take a short break, and we will be back here in just a moment to answer two more questions for you on this subject. Hey, beauties. So I want to share with you a little bit about why I'm so passionate about our SBO probiotics. You may have probably heard of probiotics by now because they're super popular, and probiotics do help to really rebalance your whole system and your health, because we know so much is dictated by the proper balance of bacteria in our gut, known as our microflora. So why are SBO probiotics? Well, these ones, just like everything else that I love to teach about, these are based on Mother Nature. They're based in, SBO stands for soil-based organisms. So they're based in the soil, the bacteria in the soil that our ancestors used to eat in small amounts. And that would really help to nourish their guts and to keep them healthy. And that's how our ancestors got their probiotics. This type of probiotic is very hardy. It also survives stomach acid. So it goes into your gut where it proliferates, and that's where you get the benefits. SBO probiotics are so powerful. You don't need to refrigerate them. You take them every day, and you can get benefits as far as better digestion, more energy, higher immunity, even better skin. I love these probiotics. I stand by them 1,000,000%. I take them every day. I recommend them to all my clients. So check them out for yourself if you haven't yet already over at mysaluna.com. And you can use the code wellness15 for 15% off all supplements or skincare, excluding bundles. Again, that's wellness15 for 15% all supplements and skincare, including these amazing SBO probiotics. All right, my loves, we're back from our break, and we have two more questions for you here. The first one comes from Ella, who lives in Florida, one of my favorite states. Ella, I love the water, and I was just doing a trip in Miami, beautiful collaboration I was working on with some meditations there for One Spa World. Oh, sending you a blessing down to Florida, wherever you happen to be, my love, my sister. Okay, your question is, Kimberly, how much leisure time do you add into your daily life? I've read this is vital for mental, emotional health and would love to hear your take on this and maybe share what you do for yourself aside from playing with your kids or being with your husband or friends. Love this question, Ella. And so I have a very concise answer to this. I have a lot of clarity around this. And I 100% believe that, you know, what you're calling, whether we call it leisure time, downtime, for me, I call it stillness and self-connection time, because that gives me so much. I can't even explain it in words. It opens up everything for me, honestly. It opens up my energy. It opens up my creativity. It helps me feel peaceful and in love with life. And therefore, I can give the love to you guys and to my kids and to my husband. And I get my best ideas in those times of stillness and self-connection. I feel so much better in my life, all through my life, when I do this. And so I really do honor it. And even though I live a very full life, and even though I'm with my kids a lot of the time, also with my hubby needs our time, especially in the evenings. There are three times of self-connection and stillness that I do not miss. The first, I was just speaking to Lucy about, I have an hour-long walk in the middle of the day. And I don't do it on the weekends typically, to be honest, because it's just too much with the kids. And then we have a lot of family time, and that's when I typically see friends. But Monday through Friday, I have my 1 hour walk, and I love it. I'm in nature. I'm still. I don't get reception, which is great because there aren't the pings and the texts and the emails coming in that I might be tempted to check at some point. I do not have that option. I think, I feel, I breathe, I am outside, and it is wonderful. The second time, or not chronological order, but the other time that I never miss is now. It takes place after, so it's a little bit later in the morning, but it's around 8:30. It is right when I put Mosey down for his nap, and I have taken Emerson, Bubby, to kindergarten. So at that time, which is around 8:30, I do my meditation, my morning meditation, and I have time to introspect and journal. I do not do work first. I do not answer emails first, because that is my time, again, where that self-connection seeps into everything that I do. My schedule is constantly shifting with the kids. So I do an earlier meditation that's brief, but my full practice is around that time, and I do not skip that. Then the third time is in the evenings after the kids are in bed. And typically, I do my evening meditation before I have my time with my husband, which is a lot of, to be honest, mostly 90%. It's cuddling, making love, and talking. We may watch something for a few minutes at the end of the night, but we cannot wait to get into bed together. Last night, we talked for an hour and a half. We shared the day. We shared, we processed together. It's really important time for us. So usually that leads into straight into falling asleep in each other's arms. So that's why I meditate. I have that me time before, between kids, before husband time. And it really, anchors me into myself, and it's really important. So I share this with you, Ella, because, or anyone listening to this right now, I encourage you to find your anchors. These are my three anchors, and you'll notice that I've positioned them morning, midday, and evening. And that is naturally how it's worked out, because I think it's important that we check into ourselves at these times in the day, the sun rising, sun at its peak, and the sun going down, to maintain a sort of natural circadian rhythm. So I encourage you to find a morning and evening practice, even a mini practice in the morning, in the middle of the day, if that's, grounding for a moment or doing a mini meditation or a check-in, or maybe that's when you journal for 10 minutes. I highly recommend meditation in the morning, at least in the morning, if not also in the morning and evening. And for me, again, it's morning time is when I meditate and I journal. Evening time is really when I do meditation. Sometimes I journal, but sometimes I don't. And that's what works for me. But these times, you know, it's not just, you know, sort of leisure for me, Ella, doesn't resonate as much because that sort of makes it feel like, oh, it's just like a side activity versus a really critical one. You know, but if that word resonates for you, that's just semantics here. I think, you know, different words vibrate on different levels for different people. So to me, it's absolutely critical. And, you know, I encourage you to really carve that out for yourself and to make it, put it in your schedule, write it in your calendar so you don't forego it, because I promise it will benefit all parts of your life, all throughout your life. It's really, really wonderful and powerful. The more consistently we practice it. I'll also say from a yogic standpoint, really integrating something for 40 days, a 40-day cycle is considered a time of great change. So we want to integrate the practice for at least 40 days, put a little bit of extra energy, and then allow it to blossom forth in our lives. So thank you so much, Ella, my love, and sending you big love out there to Florida. All right, let's get into our final question with Grace from West Virginia. So Grace, sending you so much love out there as well. Another state I haven't been to, but I have cousins who are from there, live there. So sending you a big warm hug. Hope to get there one day, of course. And Grace, you write, in order to create more abundance, is this something that is practical within or the spiritual cornerstone? I get a bit confused with this cornerstone and the emotional well-being one. Seems they are intertwined. So Grace, thank you so much. Oh my God, this question is massive. They are intertwined in a sense, but they are also distinct. So emotions are energy in motion that are moving through us. They are our feelings. They are shifting and they are changing. They are part of our humanness. Emotions come, can be triggered by the senses of the ego. So our physical senses, you know, where we hear something with our ears and it causes us to feel pain. Oh, this reminds me of something that happened to me as a child. Or we feel happy. Oh, that's a happy little, you know, puppy meme or something, right? We're sensing something and we're feeling an emotion. Or we see something with our eyes. Let's say we see something on Instagram and it makes us feel happy, you know, peaceful. Oh, that quote made me feel good. Or sometimes we can feel annoyed. Oh, this is, you know, that kind of loud energy. I don't really like that right now where I am today and this, my energy, whatever it is. So emotions and emotional well-being mean that we have healthy tools for allowing the energy to flow through us, like healthy digestion. So we don't hold on to anything and something doesn't become a block for us. But it's part of this humanness. It's part of this human experience that is part of us. It's part of our, you know, mental health and emotional well-being to keep ourselves centered, to keep ourselves with healthy boundaries. Spiritual growth is completely different in that when we meditate, when we find stillness, we are connecting to the stable part of us, to our souls, to the true self that is underneath the feelings and emotions. It is not affected by the feelings or emotions. It is the divine part of us. It is where we connect to God, universe, spirit, source, whatever word you want to use. So it is deeper. It is the deepest part of us and it is stable, like I said. So it becomes a steady resource. When we are going through life with all the ups and downs, there is a steady part of us that is unaffected by this outer world, that is actually always whole and always complete. No matter what's going on, no matter what we've been through, no matter what our behavior is, whether we feel guilt for something we've done or we feel proud of us, the true self is always steady underneath that. And so we want to embrace the true self as our real identity, our ongoing eternal identity. And at the same time, we also embrace that we have this human part of us that's stumbling along in life and certainly isn't perfect and is making mistakes and learning all the time. And so the emotional cornerstone is about self-management and using tools for the human part of us. And then the spiritual growth part is tapping into this deep power that we have and letting that come forth more and more and more. Abundance comes about the more and more we connect with the true self, because abundance is about the fullness and the alignment with this moment. We find joy and bliss in this moment, so we feel more full in this moment. And that is the energy of abundance. It is so attractive, this frequency, which in the new book, You Are More Than You Think You Are, I talk about in great detail. There is a full, very juicy chapter on abundance. And there is science to this. There is quantum physics. There is measuring of frequencies and synchronicities, chaos, so-called chaos in nature. You start to see synchronicity and patterns, the Fibonacci sequence, and there's numerical patterns. And there is a lot of scientific support for this as well, for the discerning mind. But I will say here, Grace, that when we sit in this very aligned, harmonious frequency, we start to really feel aligned. We feel flow. We feel abundant. And so we start to create our outer world. More starts to come in. Prosperity, love, relationships, opportunities. The more we create this repeated vibration from inside of us. So I hope this really starts to help you distinguish, first of all, the emotional well-being and the spiritual cornerstone, and to really encourage you to sit in that bliss. Do please check out our practical enlightenment meditations, which we put out every week for free on the app and then mysaluna.com. Please pre-order your copy of You Are More Than You Think You Are, because the book will really resonate with you. You can start getting into the first few chapters today when you pre-order and start to get past some blocks to abundance, including the first quality chapter you'll read is fearlessness, which we want to master and make some steps towards in order to then work on our abundance. So the book is structured in three parts. The first is overcoming big blocks, fear being one of them. The second section is embodying more of the true self energy. So this is where we talk about confidence and honing your intuition, finding more peace. And then the third part of the book is about manifesting what you want. So that's where the creator chapter is, how we take all this our energy, our gifts, our talents, the energy from inside of us that doesn't have form, and specific exercises to extract that form and put it into your best creations, whether it's a website or a new business or a project or a book or whatever it is. And then the abundance chapter is in that third part too. So I encourage you to start reading so you get into the first section of clearing the way for abundance to arise in your life, Grace. So thank you so much, my love, for your question. And thank you. Thank you for being part of our community. I send you so much love. Speaking of which, I have the book next to me, and I'm going to make our quote of the week from the abundance chapter. I didn't have a real strong feeling this week, and this gives me inspiration from this chapter. I will read it. If man works in harmony with the divine law of success, he receives abundance. So we want to work with these energies, these that run throughout creation, higher intelligence, energy waves as measured in quantum physics are everywhere. So when we step into that river of flow, as Yogananda is talking about here, this quote is from Paramahansa Yogananda, harmony with this flow, with these laws, we will create more abundance. And this is something I've personally experienced in my own life. When I started applying these teachings, I started to see patterns. The patterns were coming throughout my life. And I went from being a broke backpacker with literally, you know, $18 at a certain point in my bank account to creating real prosperity in my life. And not just financially, that too, but with love and with peace, deep fulfillment, deep friendship, soulmate love. And there is nothing more that I want for you. I truly believe our podcast community, our Soluna Circle community, you guys are in the inner circle. You get this. You want this. You feel it. And I cannot wait to share it with you truly from my heart. So can't wait for you to start reading the new book, My Loves, and have a beautiful rest of your day. I will be back here Monday for our next interview podcast. So till then, sending you so much love, so much gratitude, and can't wait to see you back here soon. Lots and lots of love.